Amen. Hebrews, would you look there with me? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. I can identify with the man we talked about a few services back, the man who met Jesus and his disciples when they were coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And the man came to Jesus. He said, I brought my son to you, to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. And he was bound by the devil. He's possessed of the devil. And the devil was, you know, had control of this child, this young person. And Jesus asked him, do you believe that I can do something about this? I can touch him. I can deliver him. And the Father, I identify with the Father because he said, I believe. But then he said, help my unbelief. I do believe, but help my unbelief. And that's the conflict that we are in many, many times as far as our faith is concerned. We need to understand that the Word of God is the primary way, the primary source of our faith. Amen. And so you cannot be just a casual person of interest in the Bible. You cannot, if you want to develop and strengthen your faith, you cannot just casually approach the Word of God. You have to be a student of the Bible. You have to spend time in the Word of the Lord. And that's one of the characteristics of a Christian is they begin to develop an appetite for the Word of God. You have an interest in the Word of God, and you would not, you know, as a person before a person is saved, people in the world, they look at the Bible, they look at the Word of God and think, you know, this is foolishness. And it is foolishness to men that are unconverted and unregenerated, but to those of us who are born again, we develop an appetite for the Word of the Lord. Let's read these verses here. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Another verse that goes along with this is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. A new Christian will begin to have an interest in the Bible, an interest in the Word of God like they've never had before. They have this new appetite for spiritual things, newborn babes. When you look at that scripture in Peter where it says, as newborn babes, or like a newborn baby has a desire to be fed for milk, then you're to be that way. You know how newborn babies are? They have to be fed every 2 or 3 hours. It doesn't matter if you're asleep. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, if it's been 3 or 4 hours, they start screaming. And you know what that means, right? So Christians, new Christians are to be like that. And believers are to be like that. Just like a newborn baby desires the sincere milk of the word. Amen. Just like a little child, a little baby, wants the milk, and that's the way that they grow and develop. Amen. Glory to God. But eventually, after, you know, if that little baby stayed on the milk, you know that would not be a healthy thing. They have to develop, and that's what the apostle's talking about here in Hebrews, where he's describing. You know, it ought to be that you had already grown up and matured and that you are now a teacher. But instead, you're still partaking of milk. And you've not moved on to meat. Amen. You know, you have to develop and learn. If you want your faith to get stronger, you have to develop an interest in the things of God and in the deeper things of God. Amen. The strong meat, the meat of the Word, to get into the Word of the Lord and to learn it, to study it, and allow God to strengthen you and to help you. Do you know that little children, and I didn't know this until we had adopted Zach and brought him home from Romania. He was 2 years old and he was still unable to chew food. He had a mouthful of teeth, but because of the way that they did in those orphanages in Romania, they did not feed them solid food. They only gave them like pureed type food, just soft food, because it was a process. They had all these children to feed, and so they would go down the line and just give them all a bite. And I watched the feeding process and just about got sick, because they would just go down the line, give this one a bite, and they didn't know to chew. They just gulped. They just swallowed it. So when we brought Zach home from Romania, and he's 2 years old, even though he has a mouthful of teeth, I thought, well, chewing, I didn't understand that chewing was something that you develop and you learn. It's a learned behavior. And so we bought this little baby food that had chunks in it, junior baby food. And we would put it in his mouth and he would cry. He didn't know what to do with it. He would just cry and cry, and he didn't know how to chew. I had no idea. I thought that was just a normal thing. But we learned that it's not an innate reflex to chew. It's a learned behavior. There's a real spiritual lesson in this. That you watch your brothers and sisters and you watch those who are mature in the things of the Lord, and you develop an appetite for greater things. So our family, we'd all around the table, and Zach's in the high chair, and he's just kind of watching us. We would all the kids, the girls, they would put a big bite of food in their mouth, and they would say, "Zach, watch." And they would just chew and chew and chew. They didn't chew with their mouth closed. They just made a big deal over it, and he'd just stare at us. And I mean, weeks went by. I'm thinking it might have been 2 or 3 months went by. That he still, you would put something solid in his mouth and he did not know what to do with it. But after a while, he took notice. He saw something good was going on. and he started practicing and trying. And even though he had a mouthful of teeth, he did not know how to chew. And newborn young Christians, they learn and they develop their appetite for spiritual things when they look at other people. We're motivated toward spiritual things and toward the Word of God when we see others who are benefiting from it. Amen. And growing and to be able to grow by that experience. The Apostle Paul says, you can't stay like a little baby. If you want your faith to be strengthened and increased, you've got to move on to the meat of the Word, and then eventually to the strong meat of the Word, so that you can be strengthened by the Word of truth, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Amen. You can't stay at that level. You have to grow up. And one of the most important reasons that you do is found there in verse 14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or is maturing. They're growing, they're maturing. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised by practicing it, by doing it. And by practicing it and getting into the pattern of it, and your senses become exercised by the word of the Lord, then you have the ability to discern both good and evil. Another characteristic of a child. Children, they get into things, they'll get away from you, run right straight toward the street. They don't understand the danger of it. Children will touch things that will burn them. They, you know, they're innocent and they haven't learned what they need to do. But as you mature, as you get older, you see dangers, you see problems. And so as a Christian, you can't stay like you were. Amen. You got to grow up in the things of the Lord and mature in the word of the Lord. Then you'll be able to sense both good and evil. You'll be able to discern, this isn't good for me. If I do that, or if I go there, or if I involve with those people, or if, you know, and as you learn that, when you grow up in the things of the Lord, then you develop your spiritual maturity and your faith is strengthened. Amen. You know, there's two occasions in the New Testament where Jesus made a big deal over the faith of two individuals. He described it as great faith. In one case, it was the centurion who came to Jesus, and Jesus, this centurion said, you know, I give a command and my soldiers go here and they go there. And so just at your word, Lord, he was concerned about his servant. He said, you just speak the word. And when you do, I know that he's going to be taken care of. Amen. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. Let me tell you, God takes notice of faith that is developing. Great faith and great confidence in him. Amen. He wants us to trust him and to believe his word and to act upon the word of God. The other example is the Canaanite woman that came to the Lord in Matthew 15. He called her a woman of great faith. Remember that she was a Canaanite, and when she first brought the need of her sick daughter to him, he didn't even pay attention to her at first. He totally ignored her. And then she comes back again, worshiping him and calling on him to help her in her situation. And he says, well, you know, am I to give to dogs? Give to the table, the food from the table that belongs to the children of God? And she said, no, but the crumbs fall down on the ground, and at least the dogs can partake of that. And Jesus said, great faith, great faith. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. And the Bible says that very hour, her daughter is healed. Now, Jesus takes notice of faith that is growing, faith that's increasing, and great faith that we exercise in our life. And we can do something about our weakness of faith, just like the man who said, I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. There's this struggle in unbelief. The struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the struggle that we go through trying to develop our spiritual sensitivity, our spiritual growth in the things of the Lord. Let me tell you, we all start off with, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, the Lord has given to every one of us the measure of faith. He's all given to us a measure of faith. He's given us enough faith to get saved. Enough faith to believe the gospel and to come to the Lord. And then from that moment on, we develop our faith by our appetite for spiritual things. That's why I don't understand, you know, people aren't interested in Sunday school. They're not interested in being in more than one service a week. It's strange to me, because I believe that a person has a hunger for God. If they're really wanting to develop their walk with the Lord, they're going to look for every opportunity they can. Many times I've noticed new Christians, new converts, and that they not only go to their church, they're looking for somewhere to be in church. They're looking for some opportunity. They're looking for maybe books they can read or tapes they can listen to, because they have an interest, an appetite in spiritual things. That's what happens in a person who is born again. They have a hunger, just like that newborn babe that has to be fed every 3 hours. They're interested. They want, they have a hunger for the things of the Lord. But we need to develop and strengthen our faith. I believe God wants to do some wonderful, mighty things for us, and beyond anything that we can even imagine or comprehend, great, wonderful things, as we've been praying. Lord, give us signs and wonders and healings and miracles among us. And the Lord, He wants to do that. He wants to give to us what we're desiring. But we need to be reminded, and that's what this is about here tonight. This is a reminder of the importance of being a people of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So the Word of God, it has that kind of an effect upon your life. You know, I've had the occasion where I have listened to a preacher or a speaker, and I would pick up on things they said, and I would say to my wife, you know, I think they have been reading after so and so. They've been reading after this person or that person. And only to find out later on that that's exactly right. Do you know it's important what you put into your mind and in your spirit? It is so important that you not allow the philosophy and the wisdom of the world to affect your thinking. Let me tell you, the wisdom of the world is very convincing. The wisdom of the world, it can have such an effect upon you. It can change your thinking, and the whole pattern of your thoughts are changed if you spend time being indoctrinated by the wisdom of the world. That's why we have to be a people of God's Word. Amen. Every one of us, a people of the Word of God. Spend time with the Bible. Spend time in the Word of the Lord. And don't just read it. Don't just pull out a precious promise and read it every now and then. Get in the Word. Read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. Ask the Lord to talk to you through the pages of the Scripture. And just like many of you have illustrated here tonight, God used His Word to help you in your need, in your trial, in your circumstance, whatever these you might be going through, that the Lord provided the answer and the faith to strengthen you in the circumstance of your life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible is called the Word of Faith. The Word of Faith. Amen. You cannot be a person of faith and not be a person of the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm all for it. If the Spirit of God moves in a service and it interrupts the service and there's no preaching, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. There is a place for God's Spirit just to take control of a service and for Him to move supernaturally. But I have to tell you that I really believe strong in the importance of the Word of God, that that ought to be the centerpiece of what's going on in our services. Amen. And if there are things going on, supernatural moves of God and works of the Spirit, then it all needs to be in line with the Word of God. And it just needs to be confirming the Word of God. It's already been taught or preached. Amen. Glory to God. It is the Word of Faith. Amen. Let me just offer you two or three other suggestions here tonight as it relates to the Word of the Lord. When you spend time in the Word of God, it helps, and this is the only way I know to describe it, but it just helps to program your mind and your spirit to who God is and how that He works in our life. Amen. Our minds are affected. We're affected by the things that we hear in this world. And so if you're continually listening to things or watching things of this world, and it fills up your mind with the things of the flesh, then your spirit is going to be affected by that. You have to be a person of truth and of the Word of God. Fill up your mind, fill up your heart, fill up your spirit with the things of God. There's hardly a day go by that I don't listen to a sermon. It's very seldom that I don't. I almost every day listen to somebody preach. And there's a wealth of stuff that's available online, and then I have a lot of stuff too that I can listen to. But we all need it. We all need to hear from God. We all need to hear the teaching and the preaching, the ministry of the Word of God. It increases our faith. It builds up our faith. It causes us to not be weak like spiritual children, but to mature in the things of the Lord. Amen. To be able to discern between that which is good and evil. I see people doing things, going contrary to God and God's word. And I'm wondering, why are they doing that? Why have they taken that direction with their life? And it's just like they're going headlong into trouble. And you can see down the road that the steps they're taking is it's going to be a disaster for them. And they don't even see it. It's because they're spiritually immature. And if they could just grow up in the things of the Lord and in the wisdom of the Word of God, the more you spend time reading, studying, meditating, memorizing time in the Word of the Lord, your mind is just kind of, you know, the Bible talks about the washing of the Word of God. The water of the Word, cleansing your mind and cleansing your spirit and then filling your heart up with the things of God. When you spend time with the Word of the Lord, it just changes the way you think. Your thought processes are changed. And you understand more about God and the Spirit of God and the things of God. Amen. We need to be familiar with the voice of God. Amen. Familiar with the voice of God. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people, if I get a phone call from them, even without the caller ID, just their voice, I recognize their voice immediately. I know who they are just by their voice. Every once in a while, I'll get fooled. Someone will call me in it. And actually, my girls will call. And if I don't know who it is, sometimes they sound so much alike that I don't recognize them at first, which one that it is. But the more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you spend in the Word of God, then you are going to be so familiar with the Word of God that whenever some error comes your way, some deceitful lie of the enemy comes your way, you're going to be so in tune with God's Word, you're not going to be caught off guard. Amen. So spend the time that's necessary in the Word of the Lord. Another thing that I want to mention, and that is the fact that the Word of God, the Scripture says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And we have the Word of God because holy men of old, they wrote as the Holy Ghost inspired them. So we need to understand that not only is it the Word of faith and the Word of truth, but the word and the Spirit are one and the same. Amen. They're one in the same. It's the breath of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's like the Spirit of God is just hidden. It's embedded in the words of God. Amen. So whenever you read it and you study it, then you're inspired, you're challenged, and actually the Word of God can be a wonderful move of the Spirit in your life. Amen. His Word is just, it's there, it's embedded in the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. Many times you hear preachers say, Lord, anoint your Word tonight. Well, you know, I understand that I've prayed that prayer many times. But we know His Word is already anointed. It's already anointed. And I think many times what we're praying is, Lord, anoint Your Word to the hearers. Anoint the ears of the hearers. That the Word of the Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that it'll have an impact. It'll break through all the hard shell and all the resistance and even all the worldliness and the carnality that's in our life. Break through all of that. Glory to God. They are spirit. These words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have to say there have been times that I've heard sermons and the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God. And I've walked away from that time and I have been so changed by it. So affected by it. It was so powerful. It was so directed to me and to my situation or my need. And I have walked away from meetings thinking, Lord, I have heard Your voice. I have heard from You. Hallelujah. Peter said to Jesus, You have the words of eternal life. These are the words of life. Amen. If people are going to be saved, it is through the foolishness of preaching. There is the power of the Word of God. Amen. And we can think of a lot of other ways to try to influence sinners, but really we need to stay with the Bible pattern and understand that the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it can break through in the minds and the spirits of people and convict them of their sin and let them know that they need God. Word of God is powerful. Hallelujah. To accomplish. You have the words of life. Jesus, you have the words of life. And so whenever we give a word of testimony, whenever we share the word of God like we did here tonight, then it is a reminder that His word is a living letter. It is a living truth that's applicable to today in 2011. It was real 10 years ago, 100 years ago, and God has worked through the influence and the power of His word, and He still is doing it today. Praise God. You know, that doesn't mean that if you know a lot of the Bible, that you're necessarily going to have spirit and life. The Pharisees knew the law. There's a lot of people that know the Bible. They can quote it. They know a lot that it says, but it's a dead thing to them. It's a dead letter to them because of their own spiritual condition that they're in. You want your faith to get stronger? Then spend more time with the Lord and with the Word of God, reading it, meditating upon it, and allow the Lord to speak to you through the pages of the Scripture. Amen. What a wonderful thing. And this is just in my own experience, how that many times that the Lord deals with me, but it's usually over a process of days. The Lord will impress upon me some passage of Scripture, and it'll be every day I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about that passage of Scripture, and it becomes sometimes even more than just a few days, but it becomes something that God is talking to me and speaking to me through the pages of His Word. Glory to God. And I'm so grateful when His Word is alive in my situation. Amen. If you want your faith to grow and to develop, then you're going to have to exercise it. Amen. Exercise it. You're going to have to act upon it. Amen. Faith without works is dead. A lot of definitions of faith, and one very simple one is faith is just doing what God has told you to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Doing what the Lord is telling you to do. So as an exercise in growing your faith, reading and studying the Word of God and spending time being exposed to God's Word. And then when you hear His Word, you act on it. You obey it. You take the steps necessary and to do what He's asking you to do. Amen. You know, a person who works out with weights and tries to develop their physical body, they have to stay at it. Stay at it. And they start with a very, very small amount, and then they build up. They exercise it. They build it up continually until they develop the strength that they want in their body. And it's so true in our spiritual walk with the Lord. You know, when we talk about, you know, need to be at church, need to be in Sunday school, need to be in all these services, there's a lot of people that they have the attitude, well, I don't really see the value of it. Why do you have to go all the time? Most people, they need the reminders. They need the challenge. They need to see brothers and sisters in Christ exercising in the word of the Lord, their faith being strengthened as well. Amen. Developing your faith through constant exercising of it, obeying it, doing what the Lord wants you to do. And if you know the Bible, if you've studied it and are reading the Word of the Lord, then take it another step, another to another level, and act on it. Obey it. Do what the Lord is telling you to do, and see God work. Then your faith becomes alive. It becomes real in your experience. Amen. To that man that prayed, Lord, I do believe. He was believing on the basis of the fact of what Jesus was saying. But his flesh was saying, Lord, help my unbelief. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Lord, help my unbelief. Help me. Strengthen my faith. Help me, Lord, to believe your word and to be able to be strengthened in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, oh, we thank you, Lord, for your word, that it is a living testament. It is alive today, Lord, that you hold the word.